What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Rachel. Good afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and you're listening to and watching Awaken Wellness Now. We're live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is going to be the four pillars of wellness and how to apply them for your optimal health. And so by now, you should know your dynamic metabolic type. If you still don't know it, go ahead and do our burnout assessment. You can go to awakenedwellnessnow.com, click on the burnout assessment. You can download it. It's brand new. A ton of really great tips for you to apply to your dynamic metabolic type. So if you missed the Last Life podcast, you can go back and watch it in our archives. But today we're going to continue on and talk about the four pillars of wellness and how to apply. And so the four pillars of wellness, or what I've realized over the last 20 years, are the four most critical aspects of health that we need to have under our feet, if you will. They're like legs of a table. You got to have the four legs of your table up and solid, otherwise everything on your table will fall over eventually. What I realized is, no matter how many supplements I prescribed, no matter how many fancy tests we did for our clients, if they didn't have these four pillars down, and if they were not working with those four pillars based on their own unique needs, we kept having to give them more and more supplements, do more and more tests. And so what I realized is we needed to really focus in on these four pillars. And so they sound really simple. And they are. It's not that they're not simple, but when we don't have them as things that are really critical, things that are top of mind, if we're not thinking about these things on an active basis every single day, we tend to kind of throw them into the background and we get caught up in our daily activities. And then we're not doing these four pillars the way that we need to. And then we feel like we're always trying to get out of a ditch, right? And trying to get back to level ground. And so what are the four pillars of wellness, right? It's number one is eat. So your nutrition, your diet plan. That's number one pillar. Pillar two is movement. So your movements about in your day, which include exercise. What type of exercise, what type of planned movement do you do on a daily basis? The third one is rest. So this, of course, includes downtime, perhaps napping, and also, of course, sleep. And it's very critical how you sleep and when you sleep, as we've talked about before, but we'll touch on again today because it's so important. And then pillar number four is detoxification. Detoxification is the last pillar because it occurs while we sleep. And so those are the four pillars: eat, move, rest, detox. If you don't have those four down and know how to do them for you, for your specific and unique needs, you can't quite ever get out of the, the wellness rat race, we'll call it, trying every, health fad, doing crazy diets, taking 10,000 different supplements, doing a bunch of tests. You know, we call this the wellness rat race, where we're constantly searching for answers, when the answers are actually right under our noses, right? It's the four pillars. And what I realized is when we apply the four pillars really well, according to people's unique needs. And how you find out what unique needs are is by knowing your dynamic metabolic type. So the dynamic metabolic type is kind of a story. It's kind of an unfolding of the reasons why you're tired all the time, or perhaps you're gaining weight, reasons why you're getting diseases and symptoms. Are we good, Rachel? I'm sorry, I got a prompt.
Yeah, sorry for the interruption. We're good.
Okay. And so the dynamic metabolic type is the story that your body is actually telling you about yourself and what your unique needs actually are. And what the dynamic metabolic type tells you is exactly why you're tired. It tells you why you're tired and how to fix it, all in the same story. And so once you know which of the six dynamic metabolic types you are, you'll have a really good idea of how to unfold these four pillars of wellness. And so for eating, right? Nutrition is probably the most important thing that we do each and every day to fuel our body's cells and to power all of their body functions, one of which is detoxification. So pillar number four is very dependent on the other three pillars, right? So people think of detoxes as cleanses and things you're going to take, supplements, powders, drinks to detox yourself. But that's not always the case, right? So if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type, whether it's hot, cold, or temperature neutral, if you're deficient, if you're depleted, if you don't have enough energy, in other words, if your metabolism is too low to tolerate all of your body functions, you will also not tolerate a cleanse or a detox program. And in fact, you will actually make yourself worse with a cleanse or a detox program if you are deficient. And so how do you detox if you're deficient, right? You rely on the other three pillars. You rely on your eating, you rely on movement, and you rely on sleep. So we actually detox when we sleep, and exercise movement helps to move the toxins around so that they, and the inflammation around, so it can be released from the body. And also what happens is your food powers all of that. So what you eat every day results in your own body's ability to detox itself. So when you're a deficient dynamic metabolic type, so there are three different deficient dynamic metabolic types, right? Hot, cold, temperature neutral. Doing an actual cleanse, like things like colonic cleanses or, liquid diets, those types of things. Intermittent fasting as a form of detoxification is dangerous when you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type. So you have to rely on your nutrition, right? So if you're deficient, what I tell people is whether you're hot, cold, or temperature neutral, you need small, frequent meals, right? So that's the most important aspect of pillar number one, eating if you're deficient. And you have to eat small, frequent meals because your body doesn't have enough energy. So you have to remember that if you fell into one of the deficient categories of dynamic metabolic type, what's that? What that's telling you is your body doesn't have enough equipment to power itself, to do all of its body functions. And so you have to eat small, frequent meals so that you're constantly putting fuel in your body so that it can digest that fuel, use it inside your cells, and power your body functions. If you do a cleanse or a fast in a depleted, deficient state, you're actually damaging your metabolism more. And this is why people will say to me very often, I'm not hungry in the morning, so I just don't eat. That's a telltale sign that you've already damaged your metabolism, because you should be ravenously hungry when you first wake up in the morning, within reason, right? Within about 30 to 45 minutes, you should feel hungry. That is a normal body function, in fact. So if you don't have an appetite first thing in the morning, that's actually telling you that you have a depleted energy system. And people will say, well, if I don't have enough energy, why isn't my body asking for more food? Why doesn't my appetite go up if I'm hungry and depleted, right? The reason for that is your body's really smart and it's always thinking ahead based on survival. So it's going to calculate, I can't power all of my body functions because, you know, my body isn't getting enough fuel. So I'm going to shut power down. I'm going to shut off functions that I don't need. And so when you shut down functions you don't need, you're going to burn less and less fuel, which means you're going to be less and less hungry. And so it seems counterintuitive, but it's actually your body's survival mechanism to survive. You know, and so it will shut so many body functions down that you're not really aware of. They're kind of background functions. And then your appetite will start to drop. And you think that's because the intermittent fasting is working and everything's great. It's actually the opposite. You're actually damaging your metabolism. And so when you're deficient, small frequent meals, that's number one. If you're excess, if you fell into the other three categories of an excess dynamic metabolic type, whether hot, cold, or temperature neutral, you can drain yourself. You can detox yourself with a detoxification program. You can do intermittent fasting. A vegan diet is really good because it's anti-inflammatory. It's actually draining. And so you will do well if you have an excess dynamic metabolic type, not eating in the morning, because you have extra energy that needs to be released from the body. That's what an excess dynamic metabolic type is. So this gives you a really good idea of how do I manage my nutrition? How do I best fuel and feed my body so that it flows with my metabolism, so that my metabolism can be optimized, right? And so people with an excess dynamic metabolic type can tolerate not eating in the morning, but should still eat around noon, 1 o'clock, you start eating, right? And you get your calories in fairly early. What I recommend to people, even when they're an excess dynamic metabolic type, is they actually flip the intermittent fasting and do what I call reversed intermittent fasting, which is you actually eat in the morning, but you stop eating sooner in the day. So maybe you start eating at 8 and you stop eating at about 3 in the afternoon, and then you fast for the rest of the day. And what that does is that actually puts you more in flow with your circadian rhythm. So we see this with the Chinese circadian clock. If we look at the Chinese circadian clock, we will see that all of our digestive organs, all the organs that are responsible for digesting our food, helping us to absorb our food and extract all the nutrition from our food so that it can circulate in the body and run our metabolism and body function, they're active in the morning. They're not active in the late afternoon or evening. And so eating in the morning, even if you want to do intermittent fasting, is actually better because you're going to more optimally use your body's functions in a way that they're meant to be used so that you're flowing with your body and not against it. So if you look at the Chinese circadian clock, we did a podcast on this, so you can go through the archives and take a look at it. Your stomach is active between 7 and 9 in the morning, you know, and then you have your spleen being active between 9 and 11. Spleen in Chinese medicine is loosely translatable to metabolism. It's the function of the body to basically start extracting the nutrients from your food so that they can be absorbed and then circulated through your body so that they can be used for fuel. And so those two really critical systems, and then also the small intestine, is active earlier in the day between 11 and 1 and 3, I'm sorry. And so you have to really be very mindful to make sure your meals are obtained within those times so that those systems are working optimally for you and that you're not working against them by eating too late at night. So even if you want to do an intermittent fast, if you have an excess dynamic metabolic type, you want to move it so that you're eating in the morning and then stopping in the, you know, late afternoon, maybe about 3 o'clock is your last meal. And then you don't eat for the rest of the day and then you go to sleep, right? So now you get your 16, you know, 15 hours of fasting in anyway, and you're actually using your body in its most optimal way. And so there's less inflammation, less destruction really of metabolism if we do it that way. And so even if you're an excess dynamic metabolic type, I recommend that. And then we talk about temperature, right? Temperature is really important. And we don't talk about temperature when we talk about how nutrition should be obtained, right? So if you have a hot dynamic metabolic type, remember everything's about balance in your body. Your body's always trying to balance itself if it can. If it can't balance itself, then you can become too hot, too cold, excessive, deficient, right? That's where these dynamic metabolic types come in, is when your body has lost its ability to remain balanced because of outside external forces that are, you know, forcing it to make decisions it doesn't want to make. And so once you're out of balance, you have to do the opposite to return to balance, right? So if you have gotten out of balance to the point where you're too hot, you have to cool yourself down with your food, right? So foods that are cooling are going to be raw foods, foods with really high water content, like lettuce and celery and cucumbers, also citrus fruits, lemons, limes. They have a lot of water content and they are cooling by their nature. When we say hot and cold in Chinese medicine, we don't have an equivalent in our regular medical model, but the closest thing that we could think of to say is when you're too hot, that's roughly the equivalent of being too acidic. And when you're too cold, that's roughly the equivalent of being too alkaline, right? And again, people will say, is there such a thing as being too alkaline? There is, because there are places in your body that want to be acidic, you know, the stomach and the vagina being two of them. And so if you're too alkaline, those areas will not have enough acid to perform their functions and you'll have issues in those areas, right? And so there is such a thing as being too alkaline. So if you're too cold, you want to warm yourself up. If you're too hot, you want to cool yourself down. With pillar number one, that's with food. So if you're too hot, raw food is really good. Foods with very high water content, very good, right? Only up until your temperature becomes neutral. So once you're not feeling too hot anymore, and that's been going on for a few weeks, and you feel relatively normal, you want to level that out and not be eating all raw anymore, right? You want to start adding in your cooked food so that you have it about 50-50 raw and cooked. Now, if you're too cold, you know, the one, you know, with the chills all the time, maybe your body temperature is even 97 or 96 when you wake up in the morning, then you want to warm yourself up, right? So you want to eat foods that are well cooked. So the longer you cook something, the warmer it will get, not just in temperature, but in energy as well, in vibration, if you will. And so in Chinese medicine, they have recipes where you cook something for 24 hours, right? And here in the West, we say, well, if we overcook things, they lose their enzymes, they lose their nutritional value. That's not really actually true. It's true in some cases, but not in all. And so, you know, again, everything is about balance. Nature is very balanced. And so there is the opportunity to cook food. That's why we have fire, right? And so, you know, nature intended for us to put two and two together and know how to cook, right? And so there are certain foods that are intended to be eaten cooked. There are certain foods that are intended to be eaten raw. And then there's sometimes you have the option of having them raw or cooked, right? Like with sushi, you can have raw fish, you can have cooked fish. If it's raw, it's cooling. If it's cooked, it's warming, or warmer, I should say. And then adding spices will warm it up even more. So if you have a cold dynamic metabolic type, cooked foods with a little bit of spice. Again, I always say, make sure it's not burning your mouth because that's too much, you know, but it's a comfort spice where you're gradually raising your body temperature. Same thing until it gets back to normal, right? And then you level it out. And so this is pillar one. It's really important to understand temperature. It's really important to understand, do I have excess energy in the form of toxins and inflammation? Again, excess energy, people get confused and say, well, if I have excess energy, how can I possibly be tired, right? Why don't I have all this extra energy to do things? It's because of the quality of the energy, right? Not all energy is created equally. Some of it is not good quality. Some of it is good quality, right? So if you have excess energy, your body doesn't really make excess stuff. Like it's not going to do that on its own, right? It has to be forced to do that. And so if it's forced to accumulate toxins and inflammation, you will have excess energy. So it's the quality of the energy that's excessive. It's not the amount of energy per se that's excessive. And so it's not energy that your body can efficiently use. So you're going to feel tired, right? So you want to be very careful with the application of pillar number one so that you are doing what your body actually needs and requires. If you have a neutral temperature with food, what you want to do is have some raw, some cooked. You want to kind of stay so that the seesaw is level on both sides. if you have a neutral temperature, right? So you can go from a neutral temperature to too hot if you eat things that are, you know, too hot and spicy for extended periods of time, right? And you'll start to feel it, right? You'll start to feel warmer and warmer. Another thing, if you have a hot dynamic metabolic type, whether it's excess or deficient, is you want to watch acidic food, right? Because hot roughly translates to acidic. So you want to be careful with red and gamey meats because they're highly acidic. Now, if you're too cold, those foods will actually help you warm up because they are warming. They are, you know, acidic. Acid burns, right? So we understand intuitively acid is warming. Alkaline things are cooling. So always bear that in mind when you know your dynamic metabolic type, when you're planning your meals. And so this is the best way to get your body to be optimally energized with its food, right? And so that's pillar number one for you guys. Again, if you haven't done our burnout assessment, go to awakenedwellnessnow.com. Go ahead and download the burnout assessment. You could probably do it during our next commercial break here. Super quick to do. So you have a good idea of how to apply these four pillars to your life. So you can start beating burnout and fatigue for good and unknowingly prevent diseases you don't have yet. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Thank you, Rachel. Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and today we're talking about the four pillars of wellness and how to optimize them for your best health. So we did have a couple questions come in. Question, I'm not hungry in the morning. I'm sluggish until I get 2 cups of coffee. Yeah, so, you know, that's not a normal body function, right? We should be hungry in the morning. Now, you know, not ravenously hungry, right? But you've been asleep for 8-9 hours, right? Hopefully. and then hopefully you haven't eaten for a couple, 3 hours before bed, right? And so you haven't eaten for half a day, right? You should be hungry. And so if you're not hungry, you should be asking, why am I not hungry, right? And again, we normalize these things because so many people around us share the same symptom, right? And so we start to believe that it's a common, that it's normal. It's common, it's not normal, right? And so you don't want to mistake common for normal. Normal is, I just didn't eat for 12 hours, I should be hungry. Right. And if I'm not hungry, I need to be asking myself why I'm not hungry. And again, when you know your dynamic metabolic type, if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type, the reason you're not hungry is because your metabolism is weakened. And so how we get people out of this cycle, because they ask, well, if I'm not hungry, what am I supposed to do? Right. And I tell people to practically force feed themselves, right, with something very small, something very easy to digest. Right. So it could be a protein shake. It could be a cup of soup or a broth, right, with some protein in it. It could be something that's simple. It could be, you know, 2 boiled eggs, like something really simple, something easy to eat. And what that does is it sends the signal to your body that tells it we're not starving anymore. I don't have to shut myself down in anticipation of not getting food. Right? Your body's really, really smart. It doesn't wait to see if it gets food to do things, right? It starts to anticipate. So if it's in the habit of not getting fed in the morning, it's going to shut functions down in anticipation of that continuing. So you have to send the signal to it, hey, there's food, don't worry, right? And so as you send food down in the morning, you're sending a signal to your body. If you do that consistently every morning, it's going to be like, oh, we're getting food now. We can start turning those functions back on. And these are important functions, right? They're really important functions. So some of the first things people will say is the tips of my fingers are cold and numb, or my hair is getting dry and brittle, and I'm getting a little more tired. I have a little more weight around my waist, right? These are things that your body does not consider to be critical for you to be alive. It's going to start to really shut blood flow down to certain areas it just doesn't think are as important as your heart and your lungs and the center of your brain. You know, so they're kind of minor. Again, we blow them off because everybody we talk to are like, yeah, me too. My hair is thinning. It's dry. You know, so we start to normalize these things. They're not normal. They're common. And so we want to always be not paranoid, but asking like, why am I not hungry in the morning, and making sure that we almost force feed ourselves with something healthy. Then what happens is your body starts to ask for more, because it's like, oh, there is more. Let me ask for it. And now you're actually going to feel hungrier, and people start to freak out when they get hungrier. That's actually a good sign, right? So you just want to be measured with what you're eating. So I tell people, if you're deficient, be ready to eat another meal in about 3 hours, right? So if you had breakfast at 8, maybe it's just the protein shake because you're not hungry, right? And then 11, you might start to feel a little hungry, but even if you're not, have something else, right? And make it like a small but complete meal, right? For me, a complete meal is always involving a protein, always involving some type of vegetables. And then you can have maybe like or leafy vegetables, I should clarify. And then maybe you have like a root vegetable or maybe some quinoa or something like that if you want to add carb to that meal. But definitely at least a protein that has some good fat in it. And then some leafy vegetables, things like that, or legumes with that meal, right? And then every 3 hours, you're planning your meal. And if you are deficient, you should be eating every 3 hours through the day. If you are excess and you want to do a reverse intermittent fasting type of approach, then you would stop eating at about 3, right? And then that revs up your appetite. What that's telling you is your metabolism is rising. That's actually a good sign. It's not a bad sign. You just have to be prepared for it and plan for it. And then your body levels out after a couple of weeks, right? And then you fall into a new norm. And so that's a great question, but that's what I would recommend. Question, I'm obviously too alkaline. I'm constantly dealing with issues with my vagina. Could you go over quickly again how to get less alkaline? So it's not just the symptom with the vagina that you want to use to know that you're too alkaline, right? You want to actually do the burnout assessment and see if you have a cold, one of the cold metabolic types, whether excess or deficient, right? That's how you know if you need to intervene in that way. So don't use just like one isolated symptom to make the assumption that you're hot or cold, because you know the rest of your body may be in a different condition. So you want to know like what's my overall dynamic metabolic type, so I know how to structure my four pillars. And so if you're too alkaline, if you did fall into the cold dynamic metabolic type, you want to warm yourself up. So it's cooked foods, somewhat spicy. You know, then red meats in moderation, of course, gamey meats in moderation, you know, salmon in moderation, those things are warming. And so that's how you would balance an alkaline, or cold dynamic metabolic type with pillar number one. Pillar number two is move, right? So how we move through the day. So how we figure out what are my unique needs for movement is based on your dynamic metabolic type, right? So generally, broadly speaking, if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type, whether it's hot, cold, or temperature neutral, it's just the fact that it's deficient that matters the most here when we're talking about pillar number two, movement. So when you're deficient and your metabolism's too low, you have to be restorative with your activities. You don't want to give away energy you don't have, right? Just like you don't want to detox if you're or do a cleanse if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type. You also don't want to do high intensity exercise if you are a deficient dynamic metabolic type, because you're going to basically, again, damage your metabolism, increase the risk of injury. It's going to take you longer to recover from injuries. You're going to feel more tired. And then people will say, well, that's just because I'm out of shape. Let me force myself to, you know, acclimate. You're not going to acclimate. You're going to get injured. You know, something else is going to happen. And so you want to know what your dynamic metabolic type is so that you structure your pillar number two around that dynamic metabolic type. So if you're depleted, you want to restore yourself, right? So you want to know what are restorative activities I can do. One of the most restorative is breathing, right? The taking in more oxygen into your body allows your body to convert food into more energy. And so that's going to raise your metabolism. So the simple act of breathing is restorative. The simple act of staying still is restorative, right? So naps, or I tell people in the mid-afternoon, sometime between 1 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for 10 or 15 minutes, just lay flat with your feet up. You can do your breathing at that time. You can take a quick power nap at that time. And that allows the blood to come back to your core to get oxygenated. And again, same principle as breathing, you get more oxygen to convert your food to fuel. So you want to be restorative. Grounding is restorative. You're stealing energy from the planet, right? And so when you walk barefoot on the planet, you are getting energy from the planet. Electrons are coming through your feet into your body. Electrons allow you to use more oxygen to convert your food to fuel, right? It's everything's working together synchronistically. You know, infrared saunas, right? As long as you're not over sweating. Sweating is draining, right? You're losing something when you sweat. So if you're deficient, you want to be careful. That doesn't mean you can't sweat. It just means you want to be measured. You want to be careful. That's all. You want to be mindful of, you know, if I'm out in the blazing hot sun for hours, because I have to be, I don't want to also go into the infrared sauna today because it's going to be maybe overdoing it. Or I don't want to go jog 10 miles today because that's going to be overdoing it. So you just want to be very measured and careful. But other things that are restorative are sleep, right? So again, power naps. And yin yoga is restorative. Qigong is restorative. Tai Chi is restorative, right? So these are slow, rhythmic, moving meditations where you're coordinating your breathing with rhythmic movement. That's low intensity, but very powerful because you are actually restoring your energy. So you are raising your metabolism through those activities. And so that's what I describe. And that's what we teach in our online course, exactly how to structure this with live lessons, live Q&As over a 9-week program, which we're actually going to be starting up in September. So if you're interested, sign up for our wait list. We got some bonus content there, and we're going to be going live in early September, just around after Labor Day. And so you can go to Awaken Wellness Now, sign up for our newsletter that way, and you'll be one of the first to know when we are opening enrollment for our course. So these are some of the things we teach very extensively in our online course, but you want to be very restorative if you're deficient. If you're excessive, if you have too much energy, again, remember that's in the form of toxins, inflammation, poor quality, too much energy, you want to drain yourself, right? So then maybe you want to go for that jog. Maybe you want to do the high intensity interval training, right? Those are things where you're doing more intense exercises, of course, with proper stretching and warming up always, making sure you've had your physical done and you have clearance to do those types of activities. You know, so always after you've had a proper evaluation before you do anything of high intensity, but you just want to be careful that you know your dynamic metabolic type is excessive before you go and do things that are a little too intense, right? Aerobic activity, right? More high intense aerobic activity would be beneficial if you have an excess dynamic metabolic type, because you're forcing that energy to move around. So you're forcing the inflammation, forcing the toxins back into the circulation so that they can end up in the liver and then out through the kidneys and the digestive tract. So you eliminate those toxins, get rid of that inflammation that's causing your excess dynamic metabolic type. And again, it's the same thing, right? You want to do that until you level out. If you level out and you're doing your burnout assessment again, and you're not falling into the excess category anymore, that's when you know, okay, I need to start being more measured with my activities. And so I want to crank down the high intensity exercises, bring more restorative stuff in so that I'm always balanced now. Once you get back into balance, you don't want to lose balance, right? Because if you keep doing the high intensity activities longer than for what they're beneficial for, you will start to drain your good energy too, right? So you only want to drain out the poor quality energy while preserving the good energy, right? You don't want to use that as a source of the energy that's powering the high intensity interval training or the jogging and the running and the sprinting, right? So you just want to be very measured. And the burnout assessment helps you to know like which bucket you're falling into, so you have a really good sense of how to maneuver your way through the day, right? It's a really exciting way to empower people to take care of themselves, right? We still go to the doctor, we get our physicals, we do those things to make sure that we're not falling through the cracks. But really the responsibility of staying healthy is on our shoulders, right? As human beings, like we have to know. And unfortunately, this is not part of our culture. We don't talk about this very much. Now, it's coming more and more into our culture, but not nearly in the way that it needs to be. And so we have to start to understand our own body's, you know, forgotten language that it speaks to us every day, all day, right? So once we start to rediscover this forgotten language and we start to understand how our body's communicating with us through the dynamic metabolic type story, we can know, okay, this is how my movement will optimally benefit me. So that's how you manage pillar two. Pillar three is sleep, right? And so this one's a little easier to explain, but if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type, your metabolism is too low, whether it's hot, cold, or temperature neutral, you need more sleep, right? You have to restore, allow the body to restore itself more if you have a deficient dynamic metabolic type. If you have an excess dynamic metabolic type, you don't need as much sleep. That doesn't mean you don't need any sleep, right? Again, you don't pull all-nighters, you don't do those types of things. You know, bare minimum sleep that anyone really needs is 7 hours. That's bare minimum. Maximum being sometimes 9 or 10, right? If you're really depleted, really deficient, 9 or 10 hours might be necessary for an extended period of time. So they say we can't catch up on sleep. That's only because we never actually try, right? And so Most people, because they're so busy in their day, they will not get 9 and 10 hours of sleep, even if they need it, on a consistent enough basis to catch up. And so, you know, I tell people who have a really depleted dynamic metabolic type, 9 hours solid every night, right? And we talked about this when we talked about the Chinese circadian clock. When you go to bed matters just as much as how much sleep you actually get. So going to bed around 10-ish, 11-ish is that golden hour where you make a lot of really important hormones, starting with melatonin that leads to serotonin. Serotonin pretty much is involved in every body function. And so if you don't have enough melatonin, you're not going to have enough serotonin, and you're not going to have good quality body function. And so when you sleep is just as important as how much sleep you get. And of course, it's more detailed than this. I'm just giving you guys a global overview so you can at least get started, right? Your gender matters. You know, the rest of your lifestyle matters. We go through all this with you in the online course, but I'm just giving you again a synopsis, right? So the best quality sleep is you go to bed by about 10, no later than 11, and then you either sleep 7 hours if you're excess, or sometimes 9 to 10 if you're deficient, right? If you have trouble sleeping, you want to fix that, right? We talk about that in the online course as well, but you got to get some pretty solid hours of sleep. Sleep is magical, right? You're literally laying there and your body is performing billions and trillions of chemical reactions while you're asleep to fix itself, restore itself, restock the shelves, get rid of toxins, right? So we detox at night when we sleep. It's really important that we get enough sleep so that the detoxification process can occur. So a lot of people think they have to go do cleanses, colonic cleanses and different things, drinks, when it's really just that you don't have those three pillars up and running so that the fourth pillar functions properly, right? And so your body is equipped to detox itself. We just have to know how to flow with it and not against it, right? So I think my phone's pinging. Let's go to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll tackle these questions and we'll hit pillar number 4, detoxification. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Ryobe. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milan Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milan the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milan is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, Call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Thank you, Rachel. Welcome back to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Riobe, and questions here. Question, I read recently, getting into the ocean brings pain relief. Do you think this is something that could help my fibromyalgia? It could, right? So again, be mindful of temperature, right? So if you read about the ocean relieving pain, you'll probably read, some people say it was the best thing ever, and some other people say it didn't help or maybe even made them worse, right? There's a reason for that, and that's, you know, in the story, the dynamic metabolic type. So if you have a cold dynamic metabolic type, you want to watch the temperature of the ocean before you go in it, right? So you want to be in perhaps lower latitude waters like, you know, South Florida or the Caribbean, you know, where the ocean's warmer. So you want to just be mindful of temperature, but the ocean is filled with minerals, right? And again, Epsom salts, sea salts, all those things work really well for inflammation and removing the inflammation that is causing pain. So if the pain is inflammatory, the ocean's a great place to be. If you're not too cold, right? If you're like up in Maine and you have a cold dynamic metabolic type, you may feel worse going in the ocean. So you might maybe want to do an infrared sauna instead, right? Where the temperature is hotter, but you're still getting the infrared therapy from the sauna itself. And that's helping your cells to function better, right? So yeah, the ocean's a great source of minerals, electrons, you know, all the things that would help you to rid yourself of inflammation, thereby you know, making pain much better. So if it's inflammatory pain, then yes, it can help depending on your dynamic metabolic type. That's a great question. I think there was one more. Sorry, but I thought that on a previous podcast, you mentioned cancer forms after an injury. I recently hurt myself. Anything I can do to minimize my cancer risk? Not so much the cancer forms after an injury. You know, cancer appears to form where there's not enough oxygenation. You know, cancer cells don't like oxygen. So they want to create an environment for themselves where there's very little oxygen. And so there are many, many reasons for having pockets of low oxygen in the body, right? Some of them can be as simple as vitamin and mineral deficiencies. If you don't have the vitamins and the minerals to power the production of energy in your body, and we talk about this in the course as well, we talk about all the background information so you have a really good idea of why we're saying the things we're saying about the dynamic metabolic types in the four pillars. But cancer thrives on lack of oxygen. And so if you are not getting sufficient vitamins and minerals in your body to power your metabolism, there's a backup system for that, right? It's not a good backup system, but it keeps you alive, right? And so that backup system, instead of producing carbon dioxide and water, produces lactic acid and alcohol. And what that does is it collapses blood vessels. So your blood vessels will not be as healthy and they will kind of collapse a little bit more when there's an acidic environment that goes on for too long. And so that results in less blood flow, right? There's going to be less blood to that area. And if that goes on for too long, you know, many, many years, that's just fertile ground for cancer cells to form. That's not necessarily what causes the cancer directly. It's just fertile ground, right? It's just allowing for the survival of that one cell that happened to divide improperly. You know, and your immune system can't quite get to that area because there's not as good blood flow there. And so it can also occur after, injury, but not so much mechanical injury. It's more where the body was not able to make enough fuel for itself, and the blood vessels are closing, and you're not getting enough blood flow and oxygen and nutrients to an area for too long. That's going to cause what's called oxidative damage, right? You're going to get damage to those cells because they're being flooded with lactic acid and alcohol, right? It's not water and carbon dioxide, which is basically inert, right? We breathe out the carbon dioxide and we urinate out the water. When it comes in the form of lactic acid and alcohol, that doesn't happen as smoothly, not so much mechanical injury, so much as, again, collapse of blood vessels from lack of nutrition and oxygen in the body. Statement, I learned a lot about estrogen and progesterone on a previous podcast. I'm happy to report I've been feeling great since adding progesterone to my estradiol prescription. Thanks. Absolutely. You're welcome. It's a really important aspect of care. But the four pillars, you'll notice there no mention of hormones in the four pillars, right? So the four pillars are really the basis of everything else. So the hormones come in after that fact, right? But that's great to hear. I'm really happy. So let's go into pillar four, detoxification, right? So pillar four depends on the other three pillars. And so you have to have, again, this is why having all four pillars up, and strong is so critical, because you're not going to detox as well if you're not exercising properly, or if you're over-exercising or under-exercising, right? You're not going to detox well if you're not eating the right foods, if they're not suiting your body's requirements, or if you're not eating enough. You're not going to detox if you're not getting good quality sleep. And so we can see how they're so interdependent and they all rely on each other. And so it's really critical to have all four up, running, and cranking. So detoxification, if you're deficient, you have to rely on the other three pillars, right? You would be very careful in doing a detox under the guidance of a board certified integrative medical doctor. If you still felt the need to do a detox and a cleanse, but if you're depleted and deficient, that's not the best strategy for you. You would want to actually eat more, more frequent meals, the right kinds of foods for the dynamic metabolic type story, and that will fuel your detoxification. Then you move in a restorative way so that you're fueling the body even more, restoring it. So that will fuel detoxification. You want to get the right quality sleep because that's when you detox, right? And so that's what gets pillar number four cranking if you're a deficient dynamic metabolic type. If you're an excess dynamic metabolic type, then you have a different story, right? You have excess toxins and inflammation, and it's not so much a significant lack of energy that's the reason why you're tired. It's the quality of the energy that's the reason why you're tired. And so you would tolerate more cleanses and detoxes. And we talk about exactly how to do this in our online course. We have recipes and everything for juices and drinks and different things to do. But again, you want to be careful with temperature, right? So if you are a cold dynamic metabolic type, you don't want to do a raw vegan diet to cleanse yourself, right? Because you're going to make yourself colder, which is actually going to make you worse over time. So the types of foods that you eat to do that detox also matter, right? And so again, if you are a hot excess, you want to cool yourself down, right? With more raw food, with perhaps citrus food. You want to put lemon in your water. Maybe it's cucumber water. If you're a hot excess, it's okay to have water that's a little bit on the colder side. But if you're a cold excess, you want to be very careful that you're having room temperature water or even drinking something warm, right? Sometimes just some warm water with honey in it and cinnamon, perhaps, or a warm chai tea in the morning if you're cold excess will do a really good job in getting your body ready to detox itself. So the temperature, even of the cleansing programs that you're going to do, actually matters, right? So there's a reason that cryotherapy works for some people and it's awful for others, right? And then when they bring the temperature down super low, And it's touted as this phenomenal thing, people doing ice baths. Well, if you look at those people, they're probably hot dynamic metabolic types, right? The raving fans of those types of programs are very likely hot dynamic metabolic types. If you're a cold dynamic metabolic type and you do an ice bath, you're going to be the one giving it a one-star review, right? Cryotherapy as well. So you want to be very mindful of how you're doing your detoxification. And so there's a reason why infrared works for some people and not others, right? Infrared is hot. So if you have a hot dynamic metabolic type, you're not going to enjoy infrared saunas, right? But you might enjoy cryotherapy. You might enjoy the ice bath, right? If you're temperature neutral, you want to be careful that you're not doing things that are too hot or too cold for too long, right? And so this is how knowing your dynamic metabolic type really, really works for figuring out your four pillars of wellness and how to optimize your health. And it doesn't just help you beat fatigue. It actually helps even unknowingly as you go through time. If your metabolism is working optimally, if you don't have a lot of toxins and inflammation in your system, if your circulation is working more optimally, we can put two and two together and also, you know, see that we could probably delay the onset of diseases this way. We could probably even prevent diseases this way. So this is why it's important for people who are very healthy to know exactly like what is my story and how do I keep myself healthy? What's my body telling me? What have I forgotten about my body? Like what have we forgotten as society about our bodies and how the body talks to us that will help us to work with it and not against it so that we're working as a team, right? We have this idea that we have to beat our bodies into submission to get it to do our bidding. Really, when it's really our teammate, right? You know, you're not going to beat your teammate up to try and, you know, get him to hit a basket, right? You're going to cheer him on or her on. You're going to, you know, want the best for that teammate. It's the same thing with your body, right? You don't want to flow against it. You want to flow with it. You want to be the cheerleader. And so this is, again, how the dynamic metabolic type works with the four pillars. So I hope that this has been helpful to you. If you want to learn more, we're going to be launching our live online course, Revive and Thrive, where we're going to dive really deep into how to do this for you, how to create your own personalized wellness program based on your dynamic metabolic type using the four pillars of wellness. It's a 9-week program, live lessons once a week, live Q&As once a week. We're going to have a bunch of bonus content to really like hammer this information down so that you hit the ground running and can be your best version of yourself. Again, if you're on medications, if you have chronic medical conditions, do not do a program like this before you get medical clearance. If you're on medications, you may have to backpedal on your medication doses. And so, you know, be very cautious if you are downloading our burnout assessment, if you're reading up on these recommendations. You know, we're not diagnosing anything, we're not treating anything. You know, that is for you and your physician to do. We're really just trying to help you implement an at-home program that will work for you to help minimize risk of fatigue and burnout impacting your life negatively. And so thanks for listening. I think that's all the time we have for today's show. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Riove, and you're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. And until next time, many, many blessings.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.